everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. A transition week here as we leave March. March seems to have flown by, and we will transition into April later this week. Today, Monday, March 29th, 2021. It's a day that America says thank you to the Vietnam veterans and really all of the Vietnam era vets. It was a very tough time in this country. John Munger with us for our Monday Political Face-Off. John, thank you for your service. You weren't in Vietnam, you were in Korea, but you do qualify as part of that whole Vietnam War era group.
So, well, thank you.
So thank you for your service.
And, my pleasure.
If you know some Vietnam vets or Vietnam era vets, say thank you for their service today. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, podcasts, and 10 years worth of programs at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing since 1985. What a great family-owned business. These people really know what they're doing when it comes to custom frame mirrors. We've got two of their mirrors in our bathrooms at home. They've got some great art in the gallery. And, of course, where they really excel, not that they don't excel in the other areas, but really what they're known for, the picture framing that they do, just such an outstanding job. And now they've got e-commerce going on their website. The website is moesgallery.com. The store is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Our Monday Political Face-Off, John Munger, who I introduced a few moments ago. John, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor back in 2010. Jeff Rogers, also a very well-known Tucson attorney, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, if you wear red tonight, you're covered. You've got your, being from Indiana, you've got your Hoosiers going up against the U of A women.
Absolutely.
And the women,
I don't have trouble figuring out who to root for.
The women looked real good in the first time, John, that they have advanced to the Elite Eight, which is great.
It is great. It's great to see them play. And we went to a Arizona women's softball game the other night. It was just terrific to watch those ladies play. And they won. They beat Oregon State 2 days in a row. It was great. Great team.
And unlike the men's basketball, where they are focused in many cases on a professional career, a lot of these kids are basically student athletes.
Yeah, they're student athletes, and it's fun to watch them.
Jeff, we have a couple of names that have emerged. 2 weeks ago, we had just had the announcement that Ann Kirkpatrick has decided she will not run for another term. Since then, I've had Congressman Tom O'Halloran on the show. He is the Democrat in Congressional District number one. I've had Raul Grijalva on the program, and he is the Democrat long-term congressman in District 3. And I asked both of them directly, are you thinking of following Ann Kirkpatrick in retiring? And Congressman Grijalva said, no, he's pretty much gearing up for another run in 2022. And O'Halloran, if I can remember his exact word, was, I'm in, all in, or I think it was all in. So we have the CD 2 race, and we have two candidates on the Democratic side that officially have announced. Both are state lawmakers, State Representative Dr. Randy Fries and Senator Kirsten Engel, who will be with me on the show tomorrow. As I recall, I was trying to find the news release. I think Dr. Fries's team was saying they had a huge weekend. I think it was like they raised like $100,000 or something in one weekend.
Doesn't surprise me a bit. Those are both outstanding candidates. They are. We have just a wealth of a bench in that district. It's a shame they're both running against each other, because they're just two outstanding legislators. I know them both. I know Dr. Freeze a little better than Senator Engel, but they're both just outstanding candidates. And I, whoever emerges from that victorious, is going to be a formidable foe for any Republic that might emerge from the Republican Party. And the Republicans have this primary problem with, the kind of person that it would take. To win that district as a Republican, probably can't survive a Republican primary. I mean, we're hearing names you mentioned earlier, David Gallen.
Yeah,
you know that these kind of extremists are not going to.
He's
are
a
not
prominent
win that,
member
that
of
kind
the state
of a,
senate, yes. David Gowan. But John, it takes money if you're going to just jump in. I mean, anybody, I guess, technically can jump in and declare their candidacy. First of all, I don't know, signatures. You got to raise the signatures. I don't know if that's a big deal in CD2. But what the big deal is, John Monger, as you well know, this really takes money.
It takes a lot of money. And it takes a lot of money, and you've got to be constantly fundraising as a result. The Republican Party has some candidates out there who are talking about it.
Brandon Lyons, perhaps.
And
Juan
Siscomani.
Juan Siscomani, who represents the governor's
Juan
office.
Juan would be just a terrific candidate.
That name is out there.
Ray Carroll's name is out there. Yeah. Ray hasn't commented on it.
I don't think he's going to go for it, but that it is out Siscomani there.
Siscomani would be just terrific. He's a real family man, has a beautiful family, has been active. He's got a lot of service. And so he'd be a great candidate. I heard that, her name is missing, but she's on the Corporation Commission.
Oh,
well,
she was my guest on the show.
Leah Peterson.
Friday. Yeah, she was here as the
Peterson.
Chair of the ACC.
She would be another great candidate.
And she was asked directly by my co-host that day, Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, are you running? And she said she did not give a flat no to it. So she kind of left the door open. So,
When would her term be up on the corporation?
Well, she was just elected.
Yeah. So she would have to resign to run.
As a state office holder, I believe that is the case.
Yeah, she would have to resign to run, and so that would be giving up one important position to take on a potential. And she didn't have that great of luck the last time she ran.
And here's another name for you guys. We have Dr. Matt Hines coming up at 12:30 today on the show, and one of the questions I'll be asking the supervisor, newly elected supervisor, he just was elected in November, whether he is considering running. So it'll be interesting to see if he decides to get into this. He's tried before, but with the very strong showing fundraising already going on that we saw with Dr. Hines, you got to wonder, Jeff, whether he might decide not to.
Yeah, I have heard that he's not really considering it, but that's just the rumor mill. I haven't spoken with him directly about it, but with two strong candidates already in there. Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's got to be a redistricting before all this happens.
Exactly.
And so we don't even know what the district will look like, and may not know before the candidates have to announce themselves.
See, I'm trying to figure out on this. Do either of you know what?
I believe we're going to get revised census figures in the fall, in August or September.
Well, the candidates will have had to make their announcements.
I think the candidates will have had to announce before we get anywhere near redistricting.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
What we need the census numbers before they can even start the redistricting process.
Yeah,
and the redistricting process will take a year.
And the other thing is that we're going to get a one more new congressional seat for sure.
For Arizona,
yeah, and
there's
an outside chance that we could get two. But I think we'll probably just get one, and it's probably not going to be centered in Tucson or even touch Tucson. So, this district might consolidate a little bit down in this area, the makeup of the redistricting commission is, a little bit unknown how that's going to shape
up.
Did
you serve on one of those committees?
No,
you did not.
No, The appellate court commission is who selects the people, the finalists, who then the Democrat minority leaders in the House and Senate pick two, and the Republican majority leaders in the House and the Senate pick two, and then those four pick the fifth member, who's an independent.
Hmm. All right, we'll move on to what's next with the Biden agenda, hear from John and Jeff about that. But first, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. They've been having a couple of great weekends. The weather's been great, so it's very conducive to sitting out on the patio. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery. Last week, Steve, owner and chief baker, gifted me with a beautiful coffee cake, and one of their Kringle kind of coffee cakes, brought it in here to the station, John and Jeff.
No.
And how fast do you think that thing
that's gone?
I asked Steve, I said, you know, before I take it in, would you nicely slice it up for me? What do you said, what do you want, about an inch or two? Yeah, something like that. Came into the station. It was gone. It was delicious.
So you didn't save us any.
No, I didn't save you any, and I liked it so much. I liked it so much that I got some an almond. We got an almond coffee cake from Steve over the weekend. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise are open right now for lunch. We'll be back. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. The website's Moe'sGallery.com, and they're located right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Jeff Rogers seated to my left and John Munger to my right. So let's now move on from local politics to look at what's next for the Biden agenda. Biden's administration, they're talking about infrastructure, getting that before the healthcare, child care, and healthcare reforms. Jeff, is that going to be a heavy lift?
Well, I think it's a heavy lift, but I also think it's a very necessary lift. Of all the developed nations in the world, we have probably the worst infrastructure of all of them. You go to places like France, and you're right on some of these trains, and you. My God, they're nothing like the trains we have here running on the tracks we have that are like vintage
19th century highway system,
bridges.
A lot of that freeway that was built. Like
some of the airports.
Yeah, the airports. The Pennsylvania Turnpike, how many?
Yeah.
I was surprised that Donald Trump didn't push the infrastructure bill before he left.
Yeah. He talked a lot about it when he was first elected.
Yeah, we talked exactly. on this program yeah. with you guys.
There's going to be a lot of bipartisan support for an infrastructure bill. The problem is that we're spending so much money, but with the infrastructure bill, and then we're going to get into. We've already spent. $2 trillion more dollars on
Plus the $3 trillion that was approved in spending at last about a year ago through the Trump administration.
Which hasn't even been spent yet.
$5 trillion.
$5 trillion in the past year.
On pandemic.
And now we're going to be talking about, I think, another $3 trillion. I mean, I'm telling you, there's going to be inflation. You're going to have... inflation, yeah. And then Biden's talking about this health care reform bill, and I don't know what that involves yet. I don't think he's really announced what his plan is, but that's going to be undoubtedly, as things go, very expensive. This country and I blame both parties. They've got to get this spending under control. Yeah. I don't care whether they're Republicans or Democrats. They've got to get this spending under control. And if I were running for office, that's what I'd be running on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I think what a necessary component of this is going to have to be is a tax increase. We're going to have to increase the corporate tax. It was reduced even more than corporations wanted it reduced when in the early days of the Trump administration. And we're going to see, and Biden has been quite direct about this, that he's going to, we're going to have an income tax raise for people who make over $400,000 a year, and I think that's necessary
for couples
and appropriate.
That make over $400,000
a year. And so I think that's necessary and appropriate, and I think that will easily pay for many of these items. But you know, when you look at our highways, our bridges, you know, the entire infrastructure of this nation, it's antiquated, it's falling apart. I mean, remember that bridge on I-10 out towards Yuma that just basically fell apart.
Mm-hmm. And it's
happening all across America.
You mentioned
the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Oh boy.
I mean, it's in horrible shape.
The problem is you may get some tax increases and even some support for tax increases on the infrastructure bill. But then we've got the $5 trillion we've already spent, and then you've got another couple of trillion undoubtedly coming down the pike from Biden on this healthcare reform. And that's, say, another trillion, I don't know. But we can't just tax ourselves into oblivion, and we can't spend ourselves into oblivion. We've got to do something about our expectations of what government legitimately can do. I'm a big supporter of the infrastructure. I think we do need that. I think we need to figure out a way to pay for it, whether by cutting other expenses, that's what we ought to look at first, or some long-term plan to pay for it with new taxes. I don't know what's necessary on that, but all of these new programs have to be paid for, or we are going to really suffer, and we're leaving our kids and our grandkids in incredible debt. Shame on us. Shame on us.
Right now, public support for the current spending package, the $1.9 trillion, is hovering around 70%, even the majority of Republicans.
But that's for the bill that's already passed.
Right, that's the one that's already passed. And the polling data for an infrastructure bill shows similar kinds of support. I mean, Americans understand
they
and know
they can't
that we can't ignore our infrastructure for dozens more years and expect it not to completely
fail.
The
problem is even those tax bills won't pay for that. People have to understand that our gross domestic product in this country is only $15 trillion. Well, you take on $5 trillion of debt, you're taking on one-third of our gross domestic
product. Which we've already taken on already.
Already overspending. People need to understand that's all of the income that is made by the entire country in 1 year. And we've already allocated spending for one-third of it when we were already running deficits. It cannot go on.
Well, you know, the deficits were going down during the Obama administration, and they went down during the Clinton administration. And so, you know, it's Republican administrations who've driven the debt up the most. Now, we've had an unusual occurrence with this, you know, once-in-a-100-year disease that has devastated us physically as well as our economy.
That's a different deal.
And that's something entirely unexpected, and I don't lay the blame at the foot of Donald Trump for the indebtedness caused by that, and I certainly don't lay the blame on Biden for the indebtedness caused by that, because that's something no one could have or should have expected.
I don't blame Biden for the increased costs related to COVID. The problem with the $1.9 trillion COVID bill is that only about 10% of that went to actual COVID relief. The rest of it were Democratic pork projects and that we shouldn't have been spending on at all, had nothing to do with COVID.
Let's go to the live line. Rick Grinnell, our friend Rick, has a comment and like to join the conversation. Hey, Rick.
Good morning or good afternoon. First of all, I don't know if many of you guys remember when we were kids, we thought our parents could write a check and it was no big deal. Well, now government is writing a check that our grandkids and our kids are not going to be able to cash.
That's exactly right, Rick.
And this is what the discussion, we keep saying we're going to pay for it. We're not going to pay for it. I mean, for the most part, our generation has already seen the bulk of our taxes. But our kids and grandkids are going to absorb this. And we're doing a terrible job on both sides of the political aisle, in our schools and everywhere, every front. And as long as they keep thinking government's going to take care of them, we're going to be in serious trouble. And more important, they're going to be in serious trouble.
And Rick, before you go, Rick, are you still there, Rick?
I am.
Today is a day we're honoring our Vietnam War era vets, and you are one. So we salute you. Thank you, Rick, for your service.
Thanks, Rick.
Right now.
You're not running for Congress, are you, Rick?
You're not running this week.
No, Rick is absolutely. Rick, this is John. I haven't seen you in a long time, my friend. Hope to see you soon. He is exactly right. We've got to stop this. And shame on everybody, both sides of the political aisle. It's got to stop. We are going to, the only way out of this, unfortunately, is inflation and devaluation of the dollar. And I'm afraid that's where we're headed, and we're all going to pay for it with inflation and devaluation of the dollar.
We haven't seen a hint of inflation.
If you think we're getting out
there,
of it.
There has not been a hint of inflation.
Everybody
right now
is talking about inflation. The dollar dropped 7% last year.
We're not going to see any inflation.
That is inflation.
Yeah, we're not going to see any inflation in America in the foreseeable
that
future.
That is, when the dollar devalues, it's the same effect.
Boy, we shall see. But Jeff, you're not worried about it?
No, I'm not the least bit worried about it right now.
We're
not seeing any signs of inflation whatsoever. And both the Fed and the Treasury Secretary are both saying this. It's not even around the corner. And they're both very competent people. That actually is one of the few competent people that Trump appointed, was the chairman of the Fed. And I think he grew to regret that. He had hoped he'd have a crony in there. But this chairman of the Fed has turned out to actually be pretty good.
Well, I will tell you, inflation when it pops, those of you that have been through the 70s know what inflation can do. And it just happens all of a sudden. Yep. Just bam, it's there.
All right, John Munger. Thank you, John. John, have a great week.
You too.
And Jeff Rogers, all the best to you tonight. Wear your red, Indiana and Arizona, the ladies going at it. 6 o'clock. There you go. All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe'sGallery.com is the website. Our thanks to Moe for his long-term support as our signature sponsor on our Monday Political Face-Off. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, is coming up right after this. All right. Thanks, guys.
CBS News Special Report.
We let our guard down now. We could see a virus getting worse, not better.
President Biden just announcing some major goals he hopes to accomplish in the next 3 weeks. He says by then, at least 90% of the adult U.S. population will be eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine.
Look, we're going to do this by growing from having 17,000 pharmacies giving out vaccination shots to nearly 40,000 pharmacies doing it within the next 3 weeks.
Mr. Biden delivered a direct appeal to governors, state and local leaders to reinstate mask wearing requirements if they have eased them. But he also asked the people of the country to do it, even if leaders won't.
As I do my part to accelerate the vaccine distribution and vaccinations, I need the American people to do their part as well. Mask up. Mask up. It's a patriotic duty.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Matt Piper.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. What a great weekend to do gardening. Green Things is your gardening headquarters, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, 3384 East River Road. They are open daily. They're open right now. Stop by, pick up whatever you need there, and also check out Zocalo Village, all the great merchandise. Much of it is beautifully handcrafted in Mexico and other Latin American countries. That's Zocalo Village. That's the Zocalo Village component of the Green Acres, Green Things site on their 13 acres. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Let's go now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat representing Supervisorial District Number 2. Dr. Hines, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
We were just having our Monday political discussion. Your name came up. We were talking about possible candidates in Congressional District 2. Have you, your name has come up, and we're just wondering, is that decision process, Dr. Hines, still going on with you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's certainly not something that's at the forefront of my mind right now. I'm, as you know, working on all this pandemic response and getting vaccines now from the feds, thankfully, and working on, the pandemic economic recovery. And so that's really where all my attention is focused. But, at an appropriate time in the far future, I think, maybe I'll consider it. But I don't, I've also done that a couple of times. So at this point, I'm really enjoying my work at the county level, and I think it's actually some of the most important and rewarding work I've ever done in my career. So I'm quite comfortable where I am.
Well, we do have a lot to talk about on the COVID front. Why don't we begin with kind of the biggie that happened toward the end of the work week last week, Dr. Hines, with Governor Ducey. Basically saying that all restrictions concerning COVID are now dropped, we never had a mandatory mask.
The state never did it.
No.
I don't know what he's dropping.
So the state never had
our mandate.
So I understand the health department says it's suggested or some kind of wording like that concerning masks. But basically the restrictions that were in place are gone. So this puts Pima County and the city of Tucson in a very difficult position, doesn't it?
Sure, and I just want to be real clear because there's so much confusion. I mean, my stay away from, like, you know, sorry everyone, downtown and Fourth Avenue were just like breeding grounds for the virus this past weekend, I'm told, because people were running around, and instead of 90% of people in masks, there were tons of people, and like 2/3 didn't have masks on. And just, you know, hopefully I'm not the first to say this, but the pandemic hasn't ended. In the past 48 hours during my night shifts, I've admitted 3 severe COVID cases. That's far more than I've admitted in that time frame in the past 2.5 months. So that could be where we could be beginning another surge, right? So this isn't gone. We're not adequately vaccinated. And the city of Tucson is a chartered city. So their mask mandate is not gone. And I can't speak to them specifically what they're going to do in terms of their legal options. But I know that Pima County, we have sought an opinion from the county attorney. And I think that's going to be made public soon. But we have a very strong legal position ourselves. So I believe we will still be enforcing at least a mask mandate here in Pima County. So I don't, let's not, like, you know, the governor said what he said, but I don't know that that's going to have much effect. So we're gonna do what we can to keep that in place.
For many people, though, Dr. Hines, the governor saying the restrictions are gone, it's the equivalent of saying to the residents of Arizona that the COVID-19 is gone and it's no longer a threat. That's the way many people interpret that.
Just as we're getting, I mean, we're really moving ahead. We're at like 28%+ of people in Pima County have had at least one of the vaccinations. We're moving, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the 75% to 80% numbers we need to see in terms of vaccinated residents to be safely opening up the entire economy. And, you know, we could be with a number of vaccines we're going to bring in now from, thankfully, FEMA will be able to work with us and bring in extra 250,000 vaccines. All these extra vaccines we're going to be able to get into people's arms in the next 6 to 8 weeks will very likely put us at the safe level to open things up again by maybe in the end of May. So if we just, you know, hold to the masking and social distancing for another few weeks, really, we can get through this without another surge. But what the governor did, frankly, that guarantees a surge for sure in Maricopa County.
Were you surprised that he pulled the plug on this early?
I really was, because I figured he would have learned the lesson. How many people died as a direct result of the governor's response back in May? He ended all of the stay-at-home orders and many of the restrictions at that time, and exactly 21 days after he did that, the first week of June, is when our massive surge, what we thought was a massive surge until, of course, we experienced December and January, but that massive surge that killed thousands of Arizonans happened. That's because of the governor. Those people don't have their relatives anymore, right? And so the governor should have learned his lesson. And I don't know what Dr. Crist is doing. If she has an active medical license, it should be pulled. Because if she's advising him to do this, I would love to see what data she's using. Nationally, we stopped dropping, right? We still have tens of thousands of cases happening every day, new infections nationally, because we kind of have started to relax and let our guard down. And having Governor Ducey do this, I honestly think at this point, since there's nothing that suggests this would make sense from a public health data perspective, this is more in line with his own personal political ambitions than it is with the health and welfare of the people that I represent, for sure.
And what about the variants here in town?
Yeah, another thing that's very important. We saw the University of Arizona, Dr. Robbins, sent a communication to all of the students, faculty at the U of A saying, whoa, there's still a mask mandate. Do not take off the mask. No, you can't go into our buildings without masks on. And he had to clarify that because, again, the governor is sending out these confusing messages. But, yeah, these variants we've discovered, thanks in part to the University of Arizona, very concerning because, as we know, the UK variant specifically is 50% more transmissible. It's just really, it's better at popping around from person to person. Not that the original coronavirus was bad. I mean, that spread pretty well, too. So we are not vaccinated enough in this county to especially deal with the variant situation. Yes, vaccinated people have immunity to the variant. That's the good news. But the bad news is we still haven't vaccinated enough people to keep it from spreading around. So, we have to take this. This is really a bad time to try to roll back these restrictions. Why it's so important people understand that there is still a mask mandate in Pima County and the city of Tucson that can be enforced and will be.
It really puts businesses in Pima County in a difficult position, doesn't it?
Yeah, because if you're a business owner, then you have to decide, wait a minute, you have a public health entity saying, hey, this needs to be done, you can point to the county, which I think they can still do, or maybe the state. But when you have this kind of confusing situation, then the businesses individually may feel that they need to take it upon themselves and make these decisions. And do you put up a mask required sign? Do you not? Well, right now, I think you do. But if people come in and start making, a little bit of a commotion about it because they don't want to wear a mask and they want to come in, you have the right to refuse service to anybody, but then you're going to potentially have angry customers and frustration. And it is this confusion doesn't help. And what if, God forbid, somehow you can trace an infection to a particular business? Are they liable?
Yeah,
maybe. If they let people come in and run around, especially in a restaurant, eating and drinking, dining, one of the talking probably loudly, laughing, shouting, that is how you spread any virus. So at this time when we don't have enough of that community protection yet, because we're not vaccinated enough as a community, then these businesses are kind of between a rock and a hard place, and that's not fair. And if you listen to President Biden, just in the news updates, we heard it, he is asking local leaders, if governors aren't stepping up and doing what they need to with a statewide mask mandate still in force, which ours isn't, then the local leaders at the city and county level, he's directly asking us to do it. And I think that we will be responding and absolutely making enforcing this to the best of our ability.
All right, let's talk after the break, Dr. Hines, about the POD, the pod, and the FEMA situation. Where will that vaccine be going to underserved population, hopefully in Pima County? Let's talk about that, but right now we take a break. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, back with Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, right after this break.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Southwest New Mexico. Very good news over there. The land of enchantment has been very, very good about getting vaccine into the arms of New Mexicans, and so much so they lead the nation in their vaccine rollout, and they are doing a slow rollout now of their resumption of tourism. And one of our great sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, urges you to start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for information about a trip over to Silver City, which is only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. We continue with Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 2, with us on our live line. So when it is all said and done, the point of distribution that the federal government, the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, will be running, when will that get underway, Dr. Hines?
Yeah, really good news on that front. Initially, the governor had said, you know, no go. After the state had actually kind of brokered the very early conversations between the county and the feds, then they said they kind of pulled back. And then, thankfully, Friday morning, sounds like the governor decided to change his mind and let us pull in these 250,000 vaccine doses, 6,000 a day, that FEMA will be bringing to probably two sites, possibly a third, but at least two sites that FEMA will be staffing and running. There'll be Pfizer vaccines and also a small amount of Johnson & Johnson. And obviously having 8 days of the state kind of trying to reject this help made for some delays in the planning, but it looks like there's been a planning meeting. Actually, there's a planning meeting today. I think actually this happened with FEMA, between FEMA and Pima County, and I'll get an update on that a little bit later this afternoon. But my understanding from administration at the county level is that we're looking at the first week of April that we will get these two sites, maybe three, as I said, up and running. So hopefully by April 5th or 6th, and we'll have a more specific date as the planning continues.
Do you think by May 1st, Matt, we will have a vaccine for everybody, then, and everybody will have at least had a shot that wants one?
I believe we can do that, and especially with the extra the extra doses coming in from the feds, because that's on top of what the county is already, the state allocation to Pima County. It's above and beyond that, these extra 250 to 330,000 vaccine doses. So I do believe that's possible, that, eventually in the next few weeks, we're going to get past the time of vaccine scarcity demand that's outpacing the vaccine supply, to a situation where we're going to have to be a little more proactive about convincing people who may be young and healthy and don't see the need or aren't seeing the urgency, you know, helping us get to that 75 to 80% herd immunity number. We might need to start being a little more proactive about convincing folks and making it very available and taking it into the communities.
There's been the whole anti-vaccination movement that even was out there before COVID. And right. Now you have it with a certain percentage of the people in Pima County that aren't getting it. Are you surprised by some of the percentages that numbers you've seen?
I am, especially early on. The good news, though, is that even among healthcare workers, you know, my colleagues and nurses and respiratory therapists that I work with, the folks that are really in many cases, the most exposed to potential infection for themselves and their families, even a significant proportion of them were initially a little more resistant than I thought. But that number is very consistently going down in terms of the number of people that are resistant or skeptical or suspicious of the vaccine, especially as we see almost no significant side effects whatsoever that have been reported. I mean, the number of severe anaphylactic responses has been incredibly small for the tens of millions of people that have received doses. So the vaccine safety and efficacy numbers are borne out by study after study. So as more data is accumulated, we do see that, in fact, I think the latest number I heard was 69 or 70% of people most recently surveyed are saying in the country that they are planning to or have gotten the vaccine. And so that number is up from the 50s. So that's good.
Before we let you go, a very important piece of the COVID story is the evictions. The moratorium has been extended now until June. How do we make this equitable for the landlords and for those that have been impacted? Well, not that the landlords have been impacted too, but I mean everybody's been impacted. Yes.
Oh yeah, no, of course, and that's this has really uncovered a lot for me, my own ignorance of how this process works and what's going on, and it is not equitable, and an attempt that I think that the county's embarked upon now a new plan to make sure that we can have some of these tenants and families that are potentially getting evicted or who have been evicted will have some kind of legal defense and advice to help them have a discussion in front of the judge instead of just a one-sided ruling for one party, which has been kind of the norm. But the basically is the landlords and the utilities too, they need to be paid, you know, and the fact is we have $31 million present in the county combined, that's combining resources from the county and city to help to start getting that process going, and another $25 million combined coming in from the ARP, the most recent or third COVID relief package. So there are federal dollars that can help to reimburse landlords and utilities for as many as 12 months of overdue rent and utility bills. So getting those funds into the hands of the property owners, landlords, and utilities is a huge priority. And that is why the county and the city have approved a mechanism to do that. And so between that and also the fact that we now have some defense, some advice for folks going through that process of potential eviction, and those attorneys who are helping these families can also run points on getting that aid to these families who are closer to eviction. So I think this is all coming together.
COVID obviously has dominated your time on the Board of Supervisors because you were elected in the middle of the pandemic. Are there any other issues that you feel you would like to bring to the attention of our listeners that really aren't getting any real publicity or any traction at this point?
You know, I did run at the time of COVID, specifically on, you know, the COVID response and on from that medical aspect that I bring there. So that has, of course, been taking up a lot of time. But, you know, the county is a large entity with a $1.4 billion annual budget, and there are a lot of issues that we need to address. We have to look at regional transportation planning because the RTA is up. The funding's going to be, everything. It was a 20-year plan, and that's going to sunset in 2026. So we have to look at the planning of that going forward and all the involved jurisdictions. And that is something that my colleague, Supervisor Rex Scott, is kind of running point on that on behalf of the board as a representative there. But there are certainly multiple issues, especially economic ones that I think, again, the economic downturn as a result of the pandemic is a major issue. And something that I think that this eviction question and getting folks defense for eviction and help for temporary homelessness, that is, I think, that naturally kind of dovetails with the level of chronic veteran homelessness, the level of just chronic homelessness in general. And I think that the county can play a role there, a more proactive role about addressing some of these issues that have been plaguing our community for decades.
I only have a few seconds left, but it is worth noting President Robbins at the U of A just put on a news release. 100,000 doses, Hines,
yeah,
have been administered. That milestone was reached over the weekend. I think it's appropriate to end on that note. That's very impressive, isn't it?
It is. It is very impressive. And another thing I have to say, really great work building on what the county had started. Now it's a state pod at the U of A. But they deserve credit for having also 23% Latino folks have been getting vaccinated at the state pod here at the U of A campus, as compared to only about 4% at the two stadiums of the Maricopa County. So, you know, that's really, really great work. And the Biden administration commitment to vaccine equity, another reason why it's so great to have those FEMA doses coming into these areas, low-income Latino areas in my district. We really need to focus on getting everybody in every community vaccinated. It doesn't work if you have one part of the county with a bunch of virus that endangers everyone.
Dr. Hines, good catching up with you. Be safe. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks. You too, Bill. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, District 2. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Lots of content, as usual, that we put in our hour program every weekday. On behalf of John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.